It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Closing in on the end of week number 13. What's up, everybody? Two games left here in week 13. Adam Pfeiffer here with the solo recap edition of the Fade the Chalk podcast. Week 13 was pretty good for me, I would say. It was definitely better than week 12. I feel like a lot of stuff that D-Bro and I talked about on the podcast was pretty good. So, all in all, good day for me, I would say. Halftime right now of this Chiefs and Broncos game. Then, of course, we have two Monday night games, Steelers-Washington, and then Buffalo 49ers, followed by the Tuesday game, which is the Cowboys and Ravens. So that'll be interesting to watch. But yeah, all in all, I can't complain. Hopefully your week went well too. And we'll break down these games, seeing a lot of really, really good performances. I feel like there was a lot of random really good performances at quarterback, and then there was a lot of really underwhelming performances at running back. So we'll break it all down, as we always do, on the solo edition episode here of the Fade the Chalk podcast. Let's get started. Start with the Bengals and Dolphins. Miami wins this one 19-7. They improved to 8-4. This was Myles Gaskin's first game back off IR. He missed, I think, four games with his injury and came back. And I understand they were without Matt Breida, Savon Ahmed, and DeAndre Washington in this game. So they didn't have anybody else to go to. But at the same time, we've seen Miami all year, no matter who's there, as a one-back offense, right? It was Myles Gaskin to start the season, and then it was Savon Ahmed when Gaskin was out, and then it's back to Gaskin, who played 50 of the 70 snaps on offense. He handled pretty much all the running back touches. He had 23 touches. The rest of the running backs had a combined seven. So 21 carries for 90 yards. Two catches for 51 yards. He got tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line like 5 or 6 times in this game, so he could have been an even better game for Gaskin. But again, I understand Breida's going to come back. Breida, they did everything they could not to give Breida the ball, so I don't think he's going to be part of this offense. I think it's going to be Myles Gaskin getting 65-70% of the work, and then Savon Ahmed getting the rest. They haven't given us any reason to believe that Matt Breida is someone they want as a, you know, integral part of their offense. So yeah, Gaskin, I thought he looked pretty good. He could have had a couple touchdowns, but he got tackled inside the 5-yard line multiple times. So hopefully, you know, he stays getting that workload and starts converting some of these into touchdowns. But all in all, it was an impressive and encouraging day if you had Myles Gaskin on your team. The rest of this game is kind of meh, though, right? I mean, another nice game from Mike Gesicki, 9 for 88 and a touchdown. Now, it was nice to see him produce without Ryan Fitzpatrick under center, too. It was Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback, and Gesicki had 11 targets, a team high. Devontae Parker had 8, including like 4 end zone fades targets. He just couldn't convert them because William Jackson was shadowing him, and he's been really good this year. But yeah, better late than never, I guess. But Mike Gesicki looks to be finally becoming what we all thought he might be entering the season. Not much from the Bengals. Tyler Boyd had a 72-yard touchdown and then was later ejected after getting into a little scuffle with Xavier Howard. T. Higgins, 5 catches for 56 yards on 7 targets. He hurdled over a defender late in this game, landed awkwardly, and was not able to return. It was, again, really late in a 2-score game. But just keep an eye on it. They have the Cowboys next week, which is a nice matchup for T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. But yeah, this offense right now, it's just Giovanni Bernard's been bad for like 4 weeks in a row now. Does Mixon even return at this point in a lost season when they're 2-9? We'll see, but the Bengals are obviously very, very messy right now, and there's not really any Bengals you feel great about starting with the quarterback situation in Cincinnati. Raiders 31, Jets 28, and has there ever been a situation where a team loses in the final seconds and the fans are happy? I mean, the Jets were on their way to getting their first win of the season, and then with like 7 seconds left, Greg Williams inexplicably sends like seven, rushes, blitzes seven, has no safety help over the top for Lamar Jackson, the rookie cornerback, against Henry Ruggs, one of the fastest players in the NFL. And Ruggs absolutely burns him on a double move for a 46-yard touchdown to win the game. I don't believe that these coaches are tanking, but like, if there was ever a time, it was right then. Greg Williams sent 7+ on a blitz on the last play of the game with no safety help. There's no other explanation for that other than the fact that they wanted to make sure they locked up Trevor Lawrence. But yeah, Derek Carr with a really nice game here, 381 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Of course, that late touchdown definitely helped, but he was still having a solid game regardless. He also had a short rushing touchdown. Devontae Booker was a popular name in fantasy heading into this game because we had Josh Jacobs ruled out with the ankle injury on Friday. Booker pretty much operated as the starter and the lead running back. He had 16 carries, only 50 yards. But like Jalen Richard and Theoretic combined for 7 total carries, so he dominated most of the actual, you know, groundwork. But he only had 1 catch in the passing game. Riddick and Richard only had 1 as well. It was all Darren Waller in this game, obviously. We'll get to Waller in a second, but I would imagine Jacobs is back. He didn't practice all week, so he's not like an absolute lock to come back in week 14. But I would, you know, right now kind of moderately expect him back. The snaps were definitely not like where you would hope they would have been for Booker. Jalen Richard played 32 snaps, Riddick played 13, and Booker played 33. So Richard took a lot of those third down snaps. He had a couple carries inside the 5. So definitely not the greatest game for Booker, and you probably won't be starting him the rest of the season as long as Josh Jacobs is good to go. But yeah, I mean, Darren Waller, the best performance of the day. I mean, 13 catches on 17 targets for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. I believe it was the 4th best fantasy scoring performance by a tight end in NFL history. He just got open at will. He had 79 yards and a touchdown in the opening quarter. The Jets just had no answer for him. So Travis Kelce right now is having a nice game on Sunday Night Football. It's like if you don't have Kelce or Darren Waller on your team at tight end, like you're just hoping for like 40 yards and maybe a touchdown, you know, or a touchdown. It's just been that bad. And these two have been, you know, Waller entered this game with like a 28% target share, highest rate among all tight ends in the NFL. Obviously, he's only going to go up this week after seeing 17 of the 46 targets. He's a superstar. Tough to cover. Henry Ruggs did have that touchdown fumbled in this game. He's been really up and down this year, which is why we've seen Nelson Aguilar. Aguilar had 11 targets in this game. He only hauled in 4 of them. But he continues to be the next guy after Darren Waller in this passing game. So, yeah, Ruggs got the touchdown, but I still don't believe that he's surpassed Nelson Aguilar in this offense. For the Jets, I mean, I talked a lot during the week, you know, somewhat sarcastically, but also in like season-long leagues where you're desperate about Frank Gore and how he was going to get all the work, and he had 21 touches last week, and he checks out of this game really early with a concussion, played just 2 snaps, didn't return. And Ty Johnson and Josh Adams became the Jets' backfield duo because obviously Michael Pirine is on IR as well. Ty Johnson played 39 snaps. Josh Adams played 19. Ty Johnson, though, look, it's ugly, but might be a waiver wire guy. 22 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown for Ty Johnson. He out-carried Josh Adams 22-8 in this game. If Frank Gore can't clear the concussion protocol for next week's game, Ty Johnson's looking at 15 to 18 touches, most likely, in this game. He had 2 catches as well, so he had 24 total touches. Somebody to definitely kind of circle if you're desperate for running back help entering next week. Do you want to? Most leagues are starting their playoffs in week 14, so do you really want to start Ty Johnson? Probably not, but you may not have a choice. You know, not every team that's entering the playoffs is walking in, you know, scot-free, right? They're not in a situation where all the running backs are healthy and all the running backs are incredible. So Ty Johnson, waiver wire candidate for sure. We'll have to keep an eye on him. Jamison Crowder back to being the lead guy in this game. 7 targets, caught 5 of them for 47 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, only 23 pass attempts for the Jets here. They really tried running the football, and they did. And they didn't get behind early in this game for too much. They were ahead for a decent amount, and it was just kind of back and forth. So we didn't see the Jets have to throw it a lot, which is why Denzel Mims and Rashad Perriman combined for just 7 targets. Colts 26, Texans 20. Return of 2 running backs in this game. David Johnson returns from his concussion for Houston. Jonathan Taylor returns from the COVID list for the Colts. And he got that 40-yard touchdown pass on a broken, busted coverage on 4th down. But even after that, I was kind of discouraged because of the usage. And he only had like 6 carries or 6 touches at one point. And then in the second half, he started to get going. And he ends up finishing with 13 carries for 91 yards. 7 yards per carry for Taylor. Great matchup, obviously. But it's now the second game in a row where he's looked more decisive with where he wants to run with the football. As soon as he gets it, the vision looks a lot better, which has really been his biggest problem this season. So he has 13 carries. Wilkins and Hines combined for 11. Taylor is still the guy that you want to start in this backfield. I'm not leaving this game saying, oh, he's a locked-in top 15 running back now, but every game he's active, he gets a start. So they're giving him the opportunity to get the hot hand. We know the Colts, their running backs coaches are always talking about how we're going to go with the hot hand, and whoever starts off hot and is rolling, we're going to roll with that guy. But every game, they're at least giving Taylor the opportunity to be that guy. He plays 33 snaps in this game, Hines at 23, Wilkins at 13. So, yeah, I mean, you'd like to see more than 13 carries in this game, but the Colts have been going a little bit more pass-heavy than we would have thought this year, especially as of late as well. So we've talked all pretty much during the middle of the season about Taylor's incredible schedule down the stretch. This was one of those games, but he follows it up with Vegas and Houston again in weeks 14 and 15. So unless you're, incredibly loaded at running back, you're probably starting Jonathan Taylor. But it's definitely encouraging signs coming from him. T.Y. Hilton, first time pretty much all year that I had interest in T.Y. Hilton. And I know there's the narrative of how he destroys the Houston Texans in his career, and he does. He absolutely does. And in my analysis and on the podcast during the week, I kind of completely forgot about that. I was more so in the thought process of he's 4,300 on DraftKings. He's getting more targets lately. He scored last week, and it's just a great matchup. The Texans, without Bradley Roby, a team that has Vernon Hargraves covering him, who has been bad this year, over 2 fantasy points per target allowed. And Hilton, 8 for 110 and a touchdown on 11 targets. Very encouraging to see from T.Y. Hilton. This is still an offense that's mixing it up a lot. I mean, they're usually around 8 to 11 players getting at least 1 target a game. And in this game, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It was 10 players getting at least 1 target. So that's not going to change with Phillip Rivers. He's throwing it to everybody. But Pittman and T.Y. Hilton seem to be the top guys in terms of the receivers. I still don't feel like fantastic about Hilton going forward, especially with how often this team is throwing it to other players. But a nice game for him, especially as a salary reliever in DFS this week. For the Texans, this is their first game without Will Fuller with the suspension. Keke Coutee got off to a nice start. He had like a 65-yard catch and run to open the game. Finished with a team-high 9 targets. Caught 8 of them for 141 yards. That was interesting. I didn't think Keke Coutee would have like a ceiling. And he kind of showed it in this one. A handful of plays down the field. Watson extended the play as he does as well as anybody in the league. And he found Keke Coutee open down the field. So opportunity is clearly there. We know Brandon Cooks missed some time getting evaluated for a concussion, which was terrifying considering all the concussion history he's had, but he did return, caught 5 for 65 on 8 targets, so he's going to continue to give you that nice floor, but there's an opportunity for Keke Coutee and maybe even Chad Hansen, who became the number 3 receiver for this team with no Stills, no Cobb, and no Fuller. He caught 5 of his 7 targets for 101 yards. Might be a decent deeper league option for those who need receiver help, because I don't think the Texans ran the ball fairly well in this game. David Johnson, 4.5 yards per carry. Duke Johnson, 4 yards per carry. But this is still a bad defense where Deshaun Watson's probably going to have to throw the ball 35 to 40 times each week. And Will Fuller and his, 8 to 10 targets are gone, and they're not going to be back. So, I mean, Keke Coutee was obviously a waiver wire ad last week, but if he, didn't get picked up or whatever, definitely somebody to look to And speaking of David Johnson, he only saw 10 carries in this game, but he did score from a couple yards out. They were playing a lot of David and Duke Johnson together. David Johnson only played 3 more snaps than Duke Johnson, 37 to 34. And Duke Johnson got all the passing game work, caught all 6 of his targets. And Duke Johnson, or David Johnson, rather. Geez, that's confusing. David Johnson didn't record a catch. So you'd like to see more touches for him. But again, with the way the running back position is set up, you're most likely starting him unless you're really loaded at running back. I had some concerns about Deshaun Watson. You know, his splits. Since 2017, he's averaging about 5 fewer fantasy points per game without Will Fuller in the lineup. And then you add the fact that DeAndre Hopkins isn't there anymore. And you add the fact that Kenny Stills and Cobb are not there right now. And the matchup was bad against the Colts. And he got off to a great start. Had a rushing touchdown. He had like 10 points in the first 2 drives of the game. And then slowed down. He threw a pick. He had that awful snap fumble, which would have made his day better because he probably would have scored at the end of that game. But right around 20 fantasy points for him. Continues to run a lot. I mean, that's the thing with Deshaun Watson, right? This is why I was so high on Deshaun Watson coming into the season, because I thought with Fuller, you know, being the guy, there would be more of a vertical passing offense, and we would see Deshaun Watson really be able to run the football. And it's been the case, especially, you know, since the Bill O'Brien firing. I don't know if Bill O'Brien didn't want him to run as much, but it's just, maybe it's a coincidence that since Bill O'Brien was fired, I mean, look at his rushing yards. 25 rushing yards or more in every game since week 5, which was the first game since Bill O'Brien was fired. 25, 26, 38, 50, 36, 36, 24. So I lied. He didn't have 25 in the Detroit game, but sue me. And then 38 rushing yards today. So just giving you that massive floor. He's got Chicago and Indy again in weeks 14 and 15. So I don't think the ceiling is like where it was during that massive stretch, but especially without Will Fuller. But the floor should still be there with him rushing for 25-plus yards pretty much every single week. Cleveland 41, Tennessee 35. This game ended up being a 6-point deficit, but I mean, Cleveland got out to a 31-7 start. This was crazy. I mean, this is the first game since week 5 where Baker Mayfield attempted at least 30 passes, and he was incredibly efficient. 334 yards, 4 touchdowns for him. Higgins got one, Donovan Peoples-Jones got one, Landry got one, and Kendall Lamb, the offensive lineman, got one. So just a massive kind of, I know the Titans defense has been really bad, especially as of late, but nobody expected this from Baker Mayfield, a guy who was not throwing the ball 30 times, to come out and he threw the ball 33 times, like he threw the ball 40, and just to just dominate and pick them apart. The Titans turned the ball over a handful of times, which gave the Browns some short field position. Nick Chubb, 18 carries, 80 yards and a touchdown. He's didn't rush for 100 yards for the first time since coming back from injury, but he's been fantastic. Kareem Hunt kind of hasn't, but he still had 17 touches in this game as they were up by a massive amount the entire second half, so they both kind of got theirs. Jarvis Landry, another 10 targets, 8 for 62 and a touchdown. He's been clearly Baker's guy, and he's got to be looked at right now, even with the Browns still a low-volume passing offense. At worst, a high-end wide receiver 3 the rest of the season without Odell Beckham. He has double-digit targets, I think, in 3 of the 4 or 5 games since Beckham was lost for the season with a torn ACL. So you know what you're getting with Landry every single week, pretty much. And the tight ends. I mean, I had to play Austin Hooper in a league. It's a great matchup for tight ends. But it's the second week in a row where the Browns have gone really heavy 3 tight end personnel. We're seeing a lot of Njoku, Harrison Bryant, and Austin Hooper on the field. So that's definitely hurting Austin Hooper. For the Titans, not good really for a while, but Debro and I were really high on A.J. Brown and Corey Davis in this game. The Browns entered this game with really beat-up secondary, no Denzel Ward, no Greedy Williams. They were starting Kevin Johnson as their starting outside corner, and Corey Davis got paid in this one. 11 catches for 182 yards and a touchdown on 12 targets. He was one of my favorite players the entire slate, so that was great to see. He smashed. A.J. Brown suffered what looked like a nasty ankle injury early in the game, then he came back in, which was great to see, but he lost a fumble in this game. Then he caught like a quick slant route at like the 2-yard line, tried to get in the end zone, the ball was stripped from him, And the Titans recovered and fell in the end zone. So it could have been a much better day for A.J. Brown, who went ultimately finishes with four catches for 87 yards. But yeah, Corey Davis, man, like kind of having quietly like last year's Devontae Parker type breakout season, and nobody's really talking about it. Like when A.J. when Corey Davis has been healthy, it hasn't really been A.J. Brown, the clear-cut alpha, and then Corey Davis. It's kind of been – they've both been getting like 7-8 targets most games. So, yeah, Corey Davis, not getting enough respect this season, but he was fantastic today, and I surely appreciated it. With Jonnu Smith out, Anthony Firkser played pretty well, 5 for 51 on 7 targets, but Michael Pruitt got the touchdown. Firkser will be like a low-end tight end streamer if Jonnu can't get back in lineup next week. Lions 34, Bears 30. This game was pretty wild. Trubisky fumbles away late. Lions recover and win the game. Dave Montgomery was a pretty popular play at his price in DFS, and just the matchup was great. And he was good. 17 carries, 72 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I know it was the Lions, but I thought he looked good in this game. Showed a lot of that tackle-breaking ability that we really liked out of him in college and got so excited about. So Cordell Patterson did have 10 carries in this game. He had 59 yards and a touchdown. Montgomery also cut off 4 of his targets for 39 yards. So a nice, really nice game for Montgomery, but definitely interesting to see Cordell Patterson get so many carries considering, you know, when David Montgomery's been healthy, he's been getting like 85% of the opportunities, and snaps. Hopefully that's not going to continue with Patterson getting, you know, 8 to 10 carries. I'd be kind of surprised if it did. But Montgomery still played 54 of the 69 nice offensive snaps for the Bears. So, you know, when Patterson was on the field, he touched the ball, but it was still mostly Dave Montgomery on the field. Allen Robinson, just another really nice floor game for him. 6 for 75. You're starting him pretty much every week. Miller and Mooney both had over 40 yards on 6 and 5 targets. Really nothing much else from the Bears. They were really bad. The Lions, DeAndre Swift, there was the report that he, you know, wasn't himself from the concussion still yet, and then he cleared the concussion protocol and was dealing with an illness, and then Darrell Bevell said that he would be in a limited kind of package-specific role if he played, and then he was ruled out, so that definitely helped. And Peterson was the lead back. He had 16 of the 20 running back carries in this game, scored twice from short yardage. But it was your typical Adrian Peterson line, 57 yards on 16 carries and 2 scores. Elite man, elite NFL player, just incredible human being, Marvin Jones. 8 for 116 and a score on 12 targets. Guy's been really good since Kenny Galladay has been out. I think it's been 5 games in a row where Galladay's been out, and Marvin Jones has been a top 15 receiver during that span. So we'll see if Galladay can get back in the lineup. I'm surprised he hasn't been on IR. I don't think he's practiced in like 3 weeks. So, maybe it might have been 2 weeks ago where he was limited in practice on a Wednesday and then was DNP Thursday and Friday. So, yeah, maybe he just gets placed on IR. Nice game from TJ Hockenson as well. 7 catches for 84 yards on 9 targets. It's going to be these two guys leading the way until Kenny Galladay, if and when he can return. Jacksonville 24, Minnesota 27. The Vikings win on a Dan Bailey field goal in overtime. I was all over the Cousins double stack in this game. We talked about it a lot in the podcast with Chris Meany, how I was telling everybody, like, I don't know why the Vikings, a lot of people thought the Vikings were just going to come in, dominate this game by 3 touchdowns, and Thielen and Jefferson wouldn't be good, and Cousins wouldn't throw the ball. That didn't happen. I mean, they got down early in this game, the Vikings did. Like I say it all the time, Jacksonville is 1-11. They're a bad football team, but they don't really get blown out. And that's great for fantasy because their defense is bad, but they're playing well enough that all of our players can do well against them. I mean, I wrote up Justin Jefferson in Prize Picks. I wrote up Thielen and Jefferson in my cash game article at FTN Fantasy or FTN Daily. And they were both awesome. Justin Jefferson, 9 for 121 and a touchdown on 12 targets. That makes 8 games in a row. 8 games in a row where the Jacksonville Jaguars have allowed a receiver to reach at least 100 yards against them. They get the Titans next week, so I can guarantee you I'll be writing or talking about one of, if not both, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. And then Adam Thielen does Adam Thielen things by scoring a touchdown, 8 for 75 and a score for him. Leads the NFL in end zone targets with, I believe it's 16 now, and he has 11 touchdowns in the end zone, most in the NFL. He's just a lock every single week. He's the man. So is Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins, by the way, despite this team wanting to be run heavy, the games kind of haven't allowed them to just be able to run the ball a massive rate. And Cousins has been pretty efficient. Jefferson's been great. Thielen's been great. And we've now seen there's another three touchdown game from Kirk Cousins, who you look at his game log, he has now three or more touchdowns in 1, 2, 3, 4 of his last five games and three straight. So, yeah, I mean, they have Tampa next week, a game where they might not have a lot of success running the football. It's awesome. Jefferson, Thielen, and Cousins, they've been fantastic. There was a report that Mike Zimmer wanted to kind of keep an eye and maybe manage Dalvin Cook's workload to, you know, going forward. But then he got 32 carries and 38 touches. He touched the ball 38 times in this game. Now, Alexander Mattison was out with an illness in this game, so that might have had a lot to do with it. But, and the game went to overtime where he got a lot of carries late in the game. But still, 38 touches for Dalvin Cook is ridiculous. He didn't score, but he was another player that got tackled inside the five like 6 or 7 times in this game, especially late at the end of the game in overtime where they tried to get him in the end zone. He couldn't, and then just ultimately kicked the field goal. I don't really need to say anything about Dalvin Cook. You're starting him every week, but 38 touches, yeah, that is ridiculous. James Robinson did not handle 100% of the running back carries for Jacksonville for the first time in like 4 weeks. Dari Ogunbowale had 2 carries, but obviously it was still the James Robinson show. 18 of the 20 running back carries in this game, 24 touches, over 100 yards, and a touchdown. He is ridiculous. He's like the RB3 in fantasy right now. He's on pace to break the UDFA record for scrimmage yards and rushing yards in a rookie season. I just love James Robinson. He is single-handedly saving, not single-handedly, but like I'm in a dynasty league where I just wrapped up a first-round bye, and it's because of James Robinson. He is incredible. Fantasy story of the year, you know, league winner, fantasy waiver wire, ad of the year. He's incredible. Laviska Shenault, I had to start him in the league too, and he had the luckiest touchdown ever. Chark had 2 catches on 7 targets for 41 yards. His passing game, it hasn't been as bad as people might have thought it would be with Mike Glennon, but they're still very, very below average for sure. Saints 21, they clinch a playoff spot against the Falcons. 21-16. Taysom Hill, another really nice fantasy game from him. 232 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Adds 50 or 83 rushing yards, so that was awesome. He lost a fumble in this game, but we got a report that Drew Brees is targeting a Week 14 return against the Philadelphia Eagles. He said he's feeling better. We'll see. But if that's not the case, you have to look at Taysom Hill as a low-end quarterback one right now, despite the matchup not being incredible. I just think the way he's running the football, you're not going to find guys that can get you 80 rushing yards at the quarterback position very, very often. So, and again, like, as an Alvin Kamara fan, like, I don't love watching Taysom Hill steal a lot of his carries, but as a passer, like, Taysom Hill's been pretty good. I mean, they didn't ask him to do much at all. The game plan totally changed against Denver last week, but he's got good velocity on his throws. He made some nice throws to Michael Thomas in this game, who had 11 targets, caught 9 of them for 105 yards. Like, Drew Brees is obviously getting his job back when he comes back, but, like, Taysom has been more than serviceable for this team. Speaking of Alvin Kamara, this is much better. This is more what we want. Yes, he only had 2 catches on 3 targets, but he went back up to 15 carries, 88 yards and a touchdown against a good Falcons run defense, you know, 5.9 yards per carry against a Falcons run defense that not many people realize is really good like they are. Played 48 snaps to Latavius Murray's 32. So 48 out of 78 offensive snaps, that's 61%, where he was under 50% in the previous 2 weeks. So that's much better. That's exactly what we want. And that tells me that his foot is fine, right? Like, he's obviously, he'll probably be limited again on Wednesday or whatever, like Michael Thomas is as well. But it was 2 games in a row where they didn't need him in the fourth quarter, and especially in that Broncos game. Like, he barely played in the fourth quarter, and we saw Latavius Murray get, what, 19 carries? And then Murray was back to 5 carries in this game. So that's encouraging. They still get too cute inside the 10 with Taysom in there. And Sean Payton even said it. Like, there was a play where Latavius fumbled and gave the Falcons life. And, like, he said, I put Taysom in that position to fumble. Like no kidding, man. Just give the ball to Alvin Kamara. Like, I think Alvin Kamara is the best running back in the NFL. There's seven, you know, maybe six or seven guys you can make that argument for. But I think Alvin Kamara is the best. Give him the ball. Let, you know, take some pressure off Taysom Hill. I don't get it. But, you know, we were obviously tempering our expectations for Alvin Kamara entering this week. But I was very happy to see him get 88 rushing yards and a score, nearly 100 total yards against this Falcons run defense. So if Breeze is back next week, look for Kamara to get back to that 5 to 6, 7 catch range, which will make him arguably the RB1 in fantasy once again, which I'm hoping for. Falcons, Julio Jones came back from his hamstring injury. Nice game from him, 6 catches for 94 yards on 10 targets. Calvin Ridley also had 10 targets, caught 5 of them for 108 yards. Todd Gurley was active for this game, but he was used very, very situationally in this game. He finished with 8 carries, so did Ito Smith. Brian Hill had 5 carries. And in terms of the snap count, Ito Smith played 24 snaps, Gurley played 22, Brian Hill played 11. It was an awful matchup, but Gurley's just obviously really banged up. He's been missing a lot of practice time with just kind of, they're calling it just him being sore, and a lot of it's that knee as well. But if Gurley doesn't score like he didn't today, I mean, you're lucky to get 5 points out of him at this point, especially at this point of the season. So maybe they kind of just limit him the rest of the way. They have the Chargers next week, which is a good matchup. And they finished it with Tampa Bay and Kansas City to end the season. So, you know, not expecting much at all from Todd Gurley. Let's move on to the 4 o'clock games. But before we do that, got to talk about a huge, huge friend of the podcast, supporter of the show, Manscaped. Man, it is almost Christmas time. Before we get going with the 4 o'clock games, got to remind you that tree trimming, keeping your jingle bells nice and fresh, very, 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 very key during this holiday season. So support for Fade the Chalk is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest trimmer for your downstairs ever created, and they just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take your time with sensitive areas. And the waterproof technology allows you to clean up even in the shower. So, you know, 2 birds of 1 stone, hanging out in the shower, just cleaning, scrubbing, and all of a sudden you got the Manscaped and you're shaving. Good to go. So, get involved in Manscaped here this holiday season. You can get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code FTN at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Using the promo code FTN. Rams 38, Cardinals 28. I loved the Goff double stack with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods in this game. And it wasn't bad. You know, Robert Woods, egregious price tag. He had another 11 targets for him. Caught 10 of them for 85 yards. Led the way for the Rams. Kupp had 8 catches on 9 targets for 73 yards. But neither scored. You know, Goff had 1 pass touchdown to Tyler Higbee, and then he ran for a touchdown. So Goff was one of my cash game quarterbacks in this game, in my write-up. And he threw for 351 yards. The Rams, this was a reason I like this game, is because both these teams are top 5 in no huddle rate. They both play fast. And we saw that in this game. So Goff was really good. Woods was once again awesome. I think it's his last 3 games. He has like 40 targets. He's been just unbelievable. And the story of this game, though, has got to be Cam Akers, which I'm sure Debro wasn't wearing pants during the 4 o'clock hour in his home. We've already started to see Cam Akers. You know, the snaps weren't really there the past couple weeks, but the usage and the carries were. And then this game, he ends up with a career high in volume. 21 carries. Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown combined for 7. Akers has 72 yards and a touchdown, and he adds a 22-yard reception. Akers looked pretty good in this game. Like, the yards per carry and stuff doesn't tell the whole story, but he was very decisive when he got the ball, and he was like a no-nonsense runner. He got the ball and was just going, which I like to see. The Rams up front on the offensive line looked a lot better than they did against the 49ers the week prior. And I think Cam Akers, look, we've been talking about stashing him for a while now, and I actually dropped someone for Cam Akers Sunday morning, and I'm happy about that because obviously this is a situation where he looks to be taking over the backfield. Akers in this game played 52 snaps. Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown combined for 30. And Henderson left this game for a little bit with injury. He did come back and rip off like a 30-yard touchdown run. But it definitely seems like Cam Akers is now someone that we need to view as the lead guy in this offense. And it's still an offense that's top 5 or 6 in run rate. It's still an offense that's run blocking at an above average level. And Akers has been getting goal line work when he hasn't been the guy. So now that he looks to be the guy, I would also expect him to be the goal line back. So, yeah, Cam Akers is obviously, his stock is on the rise. I'll probably have him in the stock report article at FTN Fantasy. If you've been holding on to him or if you picked him up, you know, you might be able to feel comfortable starting him as soon as week 14. You have to be, you know, you're not starting over established guys or anything like that, but the Rams have New England. They've been bad against the run. The Jets and Seattle to close out the season. So not awful matchups by any means for Cam Akers. Could he potentially be a league winner? Not saying, I'm just saying. I know what Debro probably thinks. For the Cardinals, they were bad. Kyler Murray had like a 59-yard touchdown pass to Dan Arnold to start the game, and the rest of it was bad. I mean, Murray finished with 3 touchdowns in this game, but only 173 yards, 1 pick, 1 fumble. He's not been good lately as a passer. I mean, he had the lucky touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins a couple weeks ago that helped his numbers in that game, but is his shoulder still bothering him? He only averaged 4.4 yards per attempt. He ran 5 times again, which was the 3rd straight game he's been at 5 rushing attempts. He didn't score a rushing touchdown again. It's not been great for Kyler Murray all of a sudden. He was elevated to full in practice at the end of the week, so I saw that and I was thinking to myself, okay, you know, hopefully he's recovered from the shoulder injury and he can kind of be Kyler Murray again, but it's a little concerning. I mean, he's got under 350 passing yards over the last 2 weeks. He's not running the ball as much. He gets the, like, it does, you're still starting him because the potential is too high, but it's been a little concerning with this offense right now. They're not challenging vertically down the field very often. Kenyon Drake is getting more targets in the passing game again. He had 3 more, which tells me that, you know, it's pretty much a direct correlation to his injury and the fact that now Kenyon Drake's getting targeted. I really don't want to see Murray like limited or anything with that shoulder. I wanted to be really past that shoulder injury because I do think it's impacting him for sure. Kenyon Drake scores again this game, but the Cardinals were behind for a lot of this game. They didn't have any success offensively, so they couldn't sustain drives. Drake, 10 carries for 49 yards and a touchdown, adds 2 receptions. He's still the clear goal line back. You know, he's among the league leaders in carries inside the 5 over the last 3 weeks, and that, again, coincides with Kyler Murray's injury because he hasn't been running the ball from in close as much or just in general, so that's helping Kenyon Drake, who was outsnapped by Chase Edmonds 37-29, but that was more so because they were behind in this game. So DeAndre Hopkins, tough matchup against Jalen Ramsey, but they didn't really go away from him. 13 targets, led the team pretty easily. Caught 8 of them for 52 yards and a touchdown. Dan Arnold, maybe not the worst waiver wire candidate at tight end. He only had 3 targets, but he scored twice. Tight end's terrible. You could do worse than Dan Arnold, I think. Giants with an upset, and they're looking like they could be in the driver's seat in the NFC East all of a sudden. 17-12 win over the Seattle Seahawks. Wayne Gallman ripped off a 60-yard run in this game, then ripped off a couple 20-yarders as well, and finished with 16 carries for 135 yards. But he didn't score because he got taken out of the game after his long run to get some rest. Alfred Morris comes in and rips off a touchdown run, and then Alfred Morris scores a receiving touchdown, which obviously is not sustainable, but yeah, I mean, Wayne Gallman, first time he didn't score in like 5 weeks, but still pretty impressed with him. You still take the 16 carries. I mean, he's like a decent flex for the rest of the season. He's been really good for fantasy over the last 5 or 6 weeks. He really has. The passing game, not much here. I mean, Colt McCoy only threw for 105 passing yards, so not going to be much there at all if your quarterback's only throwing for 105 yards. But Ingram led the way with 8 targets. Shepard had 6. Slayton is droppable, by the way. He's just not getting targeted. Goose egg last week, caught 1 pass for 14 yards this week, so he is 100% droppable. For Seattle, Chris Carson looked pretty good in this game. In his second game back, 13 carries for 65 yards, adds 3 catches for 45 yards, and a nice 28-yard receiving touchdown in this game. There was still a lot more Carlos Hyde than I would have liked to see, but Carson, 42 snaps, Hyde, 18, DJ Dallas, 12, and most of Dallas' snaps came at the end of the game where they were in hurry-up mode and passing downs. Carson, he looked really good once again. The snaps will probably keep going up as well as the touches. And he had, 16 of the 21 running back touches in this game. So Hyde is, slowly working his way back to playing well behind Carson, who is a strong RB1 the rest of the way. In my opinion, I think Chris Carson's the most underrated running back in the NFL. Russell Wilson with a down game here. Just 263 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He connected with Metcalf a couple times, 5 for 80. But, it was a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. He took 5 sacks in this game, was under duress a lot by Leonard Williams and company. So that definitely hurt him here. They were facing a lot of second and longs, third and longs. That hurt the entire offense. Lockett left this game to get evaluated for a concussion early on. Luckily, he came back in, so that was great to see. Finished with 6 for 63. Seattle's offense has been pretty bad lately. They're obviously nowhere near they were when Russell Wilson was the unanimous MVP frontrunner. They've been falling off a bit. I do think they need to run the ball to find success instead of play action, but maybe they should also let Russ cook at the same time. The offensive line has been a concern the last couple weeks too, which definitely doesn't help. When you're trying to protect Russell Wilson. But, you're starting Russ each week, you're starting Carson each week, you're starting Metcalf, and you're starting Lockett. It's a pretty concentrated offense for fantasy. Patriots 45, Chargers 0. What the hell? What the hell happened here? As a Bills fan, didn't appreciate watching New England with an easy win here, 45-0. 45-0 win, and Cam Newton throws for 69 passing yards. Nice. Luckily, he ran for 2 touchdowns. He has 11 rushing touchdowns on the year, which has been saving him because his passing numbers have been absolutely dreadful. This was interesting, man. Sony Michel finally got work. He only played 1 snap last week, 1 offensive snap, and didn't touch the ball on that snap. And then in this game, obviously much more involved, right? Believe he played, he had 10 carries. Damien Harris had 16. But it was super interesting to see them they ran the ball down the Chargers' throats in the opening drive. Harris ran well, 16 carries, 80 yards. The problem is Cam Newton is among the league leaders in carries inside the 5. That's going to take away from Damien Harris' touchdown equity. And potentially Sony Michel, if he starts to get more work like he did in this game, he had 10 carries. That'll take away from his work as well. Cam is just ridiculous. They're just giving him so many opportunities to score from inside the 5-yard line. So, Harris, just still a team that runs the ball over 52% of the time. That's not going to change. So, Harris is still like a low-end RB2, high-end flex in standard leagues. But he offers you pretty much nothing in PPR formats. So, he seems to be kind of a yardage guy. He'll get you 70 yards each week. But he doesn't have a great chance of getting receiving totals. And his touchdown equity is lower than a lot of these running backs in the league because of Cam Newton. When he's in good matchups, you can feel okay starting him, but there's really not a huge ceiling for Damien Harris, which is why, in DFS, there will be very few times I play him in DFS because you're not getting anything in the passing game and you have a high chance where he doesn't score. I know touchdowns are tough to predict, but they're easy to predict when you're not getting them when you're playing with Cam Newton. Really nothing from the passing game here. It's just not what this team is famous for, their passing offense. Justin Herbert, did he just take himself out of the rookie of the year front runner spot? 209 yards on 53 pass attempts, two picks. Bad game from Justin Herbert. And hopefully, if you had Herbert, you didn't get knocked out of the playoffs potential because he was bad. Eckler was good when he got the ball, but they just couldn't give him the ball much because they were behind by so much. He finished with 12 touches for 70 yards. Did have 9 targets, which is great to see. He's averaging like 8 or 9 targets a game alongside Justin Herbert this season. And Keenan Allen, once again, a double-digit target game from him, but only 5 catches for 48 yards. So the offense was just absolutely dreadful. Awful game for the Chargers. How do you lose 45-0 to New England? It helps when you get 2 special teams touchdowns, I guess, but just they didn't show up at all. All right, let's close it out with the Packers 30, Eagles 16. Devontae Adams has my heart. I don't know what to say about him anymore. He's the surest thing in fantasy. There's no sure thing than Devontae Adams, who has 10 catches, 121 yards, and 2 touchdowns on 12 targets. 7 straight games of a touchdown. They ran 3 straight plays for him inside the 5 where they targeted him. One, he got tackled at the 1. The second one, Darius Slay broke it up. The third one, he mossed Darius Slay for a touchdown. And then the second one was Rodgers' 400th career passing touchdown. Quick screen to him, and he carried Darius Slay 5 yards into the end zone. He's the best receiver in the NFL right now. There's no debating it. The connection he has with Aaron Rodgers is literally unmatched. They don't even have to look at each other. They just know. Like, there's a play where Rodgers was just looking at the middle of the field, drawing the defense attention, and then just quickly shifted his hips and threw a bullet to Adams for, like, 11 yards. Like, It's just like that. It's timing. Devontae Adams has the best release in the NFL, so he's impossible to guard. He's an elite route runner. He's awesome. One of my favorite players in the NFL, without a doubt. Robert Tonyan, I liked him a lot in this game as well, too, especially on DraftKings with the Eagles bottom 10 in yards and touchdowns allowed per game to tight ends. And Tonyan, 4 catches for 39 yards and a touchdown, so nice to see there for him. He's like a low-end starter at tight end. But with Rodgers, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has 3 or more touchdowns, I think, in 9 games this year. So if he's going to keep scoring multiple touchdowns, like, Adams will get 1 or 2, but Tonyan's got a great chance to get the other one. Aaron Jones was having a very mediocre game until he ripped off a 77-yard touchdown run late. So that was nice to see, obviously. Jamal Williams still eating into his snaps a little bit, but you're starting Jones every week, and it was an impressive run. It really was. The Eagles, they started this game with like a 14-play drive where they ended up kicking a long field goal, but it was promising because they were running the football. And then they did that thing again where they didn't. I know they fell behind in this game. Miles Sanders, to me, felt like a trap in DFS all week. This offense is broken. They're absolutely broken. And Sanders gets carries early, and then he gets nothing in the second half because they abandoned the run. Jordan Howard's getting carries over him at times, which is stupid, especially because they just brought him back. It's like Sanders is maxing out at like 14 carries, it seems like, and you'd be lucky to get that from him right now. And he's been awful in the passing game. He didn't catch his only target this game because he slipped. He's catching like less than 50% of his targets on the year, which is an incredibly low number for a running back. Now we have the Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts thing where Wentz got benched in this game. Hurts came in, and he looked pretty good for the most part. He threw an incredible deep ball to Jalen Reagor for 34 yards. Threw a touchdown pass to Greg Ward for 32 yards on 4th and long. I think his interception was deflected. There is a better-than-not chance that Jalen Hurts is starting next week against the New Orleans Saints. And if that's the case, I think it could open up the running game for Miles Sanders and company. But do you trust it? Like, who are you starting from the Eagles right now with any confidence? You might say Dallas Goedert, who had 5 for 66 on 7 targets, another solid game from him. But Zach Ertz is back, and he might be more involved entering next week. Travis Fulgham, I don't know what the hell he did to the coaching staff, because ever since Alshon's been back, he's running as like the 4th wide receiver, although he's been their best receiver all year, which is, again, another point to how bad Doug Peterson's been this year. Like, I just don't get Alshon Jeffery cannot even run. He has nothing left at this point. Love the guy, but he's got nothing left. What the hell is he playing over? What is he playing over Travis Fulgham for? Why? It's just dumb. It makes no sense. Pretty much matching everything Doug Peterson's done this year. We'll see if I'll be interested to see some of the press conferences from the Eagles after this game. It'll probably be like, yeah, we're gonna. This is exactly what Doug Peterson's gonna say, I bet, on Monday. So here, I'll be the beat writer or the media member asking a question. So Doug, we obviously saw Jalen Hurts come in for Carson Wentz in the second half. What is the situation for the quarterbacks heading into New Orleans? Yeah, I think we're gonna take it a day by day evaluation, evaluate each guy, and see which guy gives our team the best chance to win. Let me tell you, Doug, it ain't Carson Wentz. It's pretty clear. It's been bad on both sides, right? It's not all on Wentz. The line, they've had 11 different combinations of the offensive line, most in the NFL. The receivers have been banged up. I get it. Zach Ertz has been hurt. The running game has been, not really bad. It's just they haven't been going to it. But at the same time, Carson Wentz holds onto the ball way too long. The difference I noticed the second Hurts came in, Jalen Hurts, when the ball hit his hands off the snap, he knew where he was going with it immediately. I don't remember the last time I saw Carson Wentz take the snap and know exactly where the read was, exactly where the play was designed for. And that's a problem. And that's why I still think it's like 60% on Wentz, 40% on the offensive line and everything else. But when everything's going wrong, when the quarterback's playing badly and has no confidence, when the coaching staff and the play calling is abysmal, and when the offensive line is as bad as it is, you're going to have this result where the Eagles are looking right now in the 3-8. So we'll see if Jalen Hurts is starting next week. I don't know how he doesn't, though. I really don't. And we could have Jalen Hurts versus Taysom Hill, which would be really interesting. But yeah, that's it. Look, I'm in the PA area, so like, I guess that's why I ranted on the Eagles. It's just I don't get the incompetence of Doug Peterson. I'm more annoyed with Doug Peterson than I am with Carson Wentz, but we'll see. It'll be really interesting to see if Jalen Hurts is under center for the Philadelphia Eagles in week number 14. D-Bro and I will be back on Monday for the Waiver Wire podcast as we set our sails for the fantasy playoffs, man. It's already week 14. Hopefully you made the playoffs. If you did, D-Bro and I are going to do everything we can to try to get you that fantasy, that title, that Shiva trophy that everybody's trying to hoist. So that would be great. Obviously have the DFS podcast on Fridays. Not even sure who's going to be on this week yet. We're going to obviously get a guest. That'll be fun. Love talking to everybody from the FTN family. And of course, check out the podcast on iTunes, rating and review. We have giveaways, obviously. So anytime you leave a rating and review, you're immediately entered to win that. Just send a screenshot over to the Fade the Chalk Twitter handle, which is ChalkFade. And yeah, like I said, hopefully week number 13 went well for you. I can't complain. Won most of my season-long leagues, did pretty well in DFS, thanks to Corey Davis and some of these guys we talked about on the DFS podcast, which you don't want to miss every single Friday here on Fade the Chalk. Have a great start to your week, everybody. Enjoy some football. Go Bills on Monday night. Hopefully they get the job done. We'll see you guys on the Waiver Wire podcast on Monday. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.